Hey, we're a show today. How are you? I'm doing well, thank you. Got a lot of great stuff today. You know, we usually have, top of the show, some business to take care of. I did want to let everyone know that I watched Demolition Man on DVD the other night. Now, it's a movie I've seen a few times. However, there was something I wasn't sure about. Now, I knew that in the movie Demolition Man, they did engage in what I consider to be a staple of great film, which is saying the title of the movie in the movie. Now, I don't count, you know, something like if the movie Gravity, right? I assume they say the word gravity in there, that they'll say, oh yeah, well, gravity does this, or gravity, you know. If their space station was called the SS Gravity, now we're talking, right? But you know those simple one-word titles I can't do. But you know, I like it. I don't care if it's an action movie and someone says it, or if it's like a indie movie, you know, and someone goes, who's going to be there? And then somebody says, me and you and everyone we know. And then I stand up in the theater and do a little dance. I clap. I say, well done. Well done. And then that's that. Now, I wish I had a better idea of the exact rules of this procedure, because certain things, it just doesn't work. Grand Budapest Hotel. Okay? It's a Grand Budapest Hotel. So if they say that in the movie, but that's the name of the hotel, it doesn't really work, right? Or if they talk about, I don't know. I wish I could come up with another example. Nightmare on Elm Street. Okay, Nightmare on Elm Street. That's a good one, because they're like, this is a nightmare on Elm Street. That's good stuff. Okay, that, I'm positive that is what I'm looking for. But it's hard to know. Like, I wish I had a good rule. I think the thing, if it's like, the more words, the better it is. You know, tomorrow never dies. And then someone in the movie says, yeah, well, you know what, Mr. Bond? Tomorrow never dies. This is my elaborate plot to make my newspaper great, the best in the world, I believe was the idea in that one. Which, would have been even more hilarious just 2 years later, but was already kind of like, yeah, I mean, isn't print media dead? Anyway, in Demolition Man, I knew for sure that they said Demolition Man at least once, because I remembered that the captain, you know, of the police squad is talking to Stallone after he blows up a building, and he's like, I thought I told you I was sick and tired of this Demolition Man shit. And they say Demolition Man not once times, but five times. Just as I was finishing this story, I questioned whether or not I already said this on our last show. Which would make it extra hilarious. So I said twice how they say it five times. That's how happy I was. Every time they say Demolition Man, I, you know, get real excited. So anyway, I encourage movie makers out there to make your movie have kind of a funny title and then make sure they say it. And if they can say it more than once, you know. I like it in that way of, they call him the Demolition Man. Or, we call it a broken arrow. I don't know what's scarier. The fact that it happens, or the fact that it happens enough that there's a name for it. Okay, that's perfect. If they make a big deal out of it. See, not as into Face Off when he says, we take his face off. You know, I want it to be a little bit more like John Travolta looks in the camera and says, I think it's time that we face off. And then dun 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 dun, and they shoot at each other and doves cry and fly. So that's a thing that happened. The Demolition Man, and maybe it's happened twice. But you know what? It's significant in the history of this show. I beat the game Castlevania last night. This is a good time for you guys to all stand up and cheer. I think it affected me, this Demolition Man thing, because when I was playing Castlevania, like, I always assumed that Castlevania was, like, the name of the castle or something. I'm not really sure what I thought it, or if it really was anything. But then I read that dumb book that suggested that Castlevania was the name of, like, the country. Like, you know, Dracula lives in Transylvania, and I guess there's a castle here, so they're like, Castlevania. Which I get. It makes sense, and that's why it bothered me, though, because I was like, well, what did I think Castlevania was before? I don't know, just some fucking castle? Dracula's castle? What do they call it, then? Dracula's castle? They should start calling it Castlevania. I would also really like, I think, if cities, new cities, started naming themselves cool things from video games. Like, is there such thing as a new city anymore? An unnamed territory that becomes a city? Because they should start, you know, I would love to found a territory and be like, what's the name of my city? Castlevania. Fucking A. Where do you live? Hyrule. 123 Gerudo Avenue, Hyrule. Thank you very much. I don't know why they can't do that. I don't know why everyone's like, oh, if we make something fun, then people won't take it seriously. Why is it gotta be so fucking serious? Why does it matter? When you go to your mayor conventions that don't exist, and everyone's like, what city are you from? Castlevania? Oh, you idiot. Like, who cares? Half these cities, no one's even fucking heard of, so what are you making a big deal out of it for? I don't know. Just be a cool name. There's a million names, and we all pick the same names. How many Jeffersons and Adams and Washingtons does there need to be before someone's like, okay, we can't all be the same fucking thing? You know, I know there are a lot of people who want to be, whatever, Martin Luther King the city, but come on, let's calm down. How many new somethings do we need? And at what point, is there any point at which New York is going to be like, all right, let's drop the new. Let's fucking face it. This is goddamn so old at this point. It's like the oldest thing we have is the name of this city. There's nothing older than this, and we're calling it new. By that logic, everything is new. So this doesn't even make sense. But do we even think about that shit anymore? No. No, we don't. We do not. Anyway, today's show is about manners. I found that there's a lack of consideration for people sometimes. And sometimes people have questions on how they should behave to each other, and, to an extent, to themselves. Because really, having good manners is its own reward, right? When you're a well-mannered individual, you look at the world a different way. You see people as your allies, as opposed to your enemies. Actually, I was thinking about that in the opposite way just the other day. I went to the gymnasium the other day and saw one of the funniest / stupidest things I've seen in quite a while there. So there was this guy, there was this gentleman, who was of there's this certain variety of guys at the gym that I don't really know how to fit them into a category, so they just are a category. And it's guys who aren't fat, but they're not ripped, but they're also really big. So, like, their arms are big around, but they're just big. And, they're always short. They just always kind of look like a garbage can standing there. And somehow, you know, they're sturdy. They look like they'd be impossible to tip over. But on the other hand, they don't look particularly... They look strong, but not fit. If that's a way to put it. They look like they could, you know, summon the strength to, like, knock over a goddamn stoplight, but then that would be, they would need to recover for, like, 800 years. Like, once every 800 years, they summon the great strength and do a feat, and then they retire to their chamber or whatever. So this was one of those guys, heavily tattooed, and, wearing his Beats by Dre that appeared to be possibly pink, I'm not sure. And he was doing, and his tattoos, by the way, sometimes tattoos have become more common, and so I think I just ignore tattoos more. It used to be, I think I would look at Tat as someone who had sleeves and be like, well, what comprises these sleeves? You know, oh, koi fish, okay. But now I just ignore it. But this guy, I looked and it was like just a conglomeration of stuff, like a Dallas Cowboys logo. And it looked like basically the wall of a teenager's room where they're just like, these are all the things I like. And so I'm putting them in a spot, which is on the wall and on my arm. So he goes to do triceps pushdowns on a cable machine. Now, it's not important to really know what that exercise is. It's important to know this. Your triceps are not real big muscles. You can't do a ton of work on them at one session because they really, it's not like doing your back where it's like, that's like 500 muscles and they all are pretty strong. These are kind of vanity muscles, right? So he's doing it, this workout with crazy weight, and he's also, you know, but he's doing it really badly where he's kind of just pushing it down with his own body weight, he's not doing it right, let's put it that way. And he did triceps pushdowns for 45 minutes and nothing else. Like the whole time I was there, basically the whole time I lifted weights, he did triceps pushdowns, which is insane. Like he would do, you know, I don't know, 15, and then he would stop, and he would do another 15, and then he would stop. And this went on and on. So here's what's awesome about this, though. He goes up to do his triceps pushdowns, his, I don't know, it's like an intense exercise, just like anything is, but on the other hand, it's not like doing a bench press where you're like, my God, my whole body is being used in this task, you know? It's just kind of this one area. So he goes to do it, and before he does it, he does sign of the cross, right? That face and your chest and your go side to side thing, and then does triceps pushdowns. Now, the first time I saw him do it, I just thought, well, I don't know, whatever. Maybe he just starts every workout that way. He probably has seen the Ultimate Fighting Men do that and just is like, oh, that looks like a good thing to do. I did question whether he knew what it was or if he was doing thought he was doing a shoulder warm-up of sorts. But that was just me being a dick. But then he went ahead and did a couple sets and then did it again. And another time. So he's alternating between doing a total vanity muscle workout and then praying to Jesus. Jesus, let's make these muscles really big. I want to have big arms. Pythons, okay? These colors don't run. God bless America, and God bless Jesus, and Jesus bless America. Kind of an A plus B equals C, and, you know, A plus whatever, B plus A equals C too. Something in there. There's some kind of algebra. God, Jesus, America. Amen. And then blast these triceps. I don't know what people are doing. And this answers some of my questions. Like, I'm not really sure how people are spending so much time at the gymnasium, like 4 hours. I don't know what they're doing. Like, I feel like the work most people do could get done in 30 minutes. But they're there for all day. All day and all night. Anyway, so I don't know. Maybe I should try it, though. I've never prayed. I've never worked my shoulder up that way. I've never done it. So, no segue. Fuck it. I have this book that's Miss Manners' Guide to Excruciatingly Correct Behavior. Now, here's what's great about this. A lot of questions about manners and what we should do and how we should behave, which is kind of a specialty here at Helpful Snowman, right? Telling people what to do. So let's go for it. Let's just dive in, answer some questions, because I figure if they're printed in this book, maybe some of you have these questions too. So here we go. God. This is a perfect start. I swear to God, this has just happened. Dear Miss Manners, I love eating pickles, but I'm afraid that eating them whole, as I often do, might not be considered proper. I know that it's all right to put pickle slices on hamburgers and sandwiches, but I'm not sure if they should be eaten by themselves. Do you know of a correct way to eat them? So I guess from what I could tell, this seems to be referring to the pickle as being penis-y. Like a whole pickle is kind of penis-y, I guess. Like maybe the Hulk's penis, if the Hulk's penis wasn't big. Which, the Hulk might have a tiny penis, relatively. Because the penis isn't really a muscle. So I don't know if it would make sense for him to have a giant penis. But maybe he just does because, you know, why not? At the same time, why not? Although if he had like a huge penis and balls, I think he would blow his pants out too. Huge butt. I don't know. Yeah, I don't. If you're avoiding penis foods, you're going to be in trouble. Because there are just too many penis foods. Bananas are penis foods. Popsicles are penis foods. Hot dogs are complete penis foods. I think that's like the invention of the Chicago-style hot dog. It's just you kind of make a mountain of stuff on it so it's a different shape. And you're like, well, there. Now it's not a penis. Even though you put those little penis-shaped peppers all over it. So it's kind of like decorating a giant penis with pictures of tiny penises. Like if I got a tattoo of a tinier penis on my penis. But that seems to be the invention of that dish, you know, just some guy in Chicago was like, I don't want people to think I'm gay. Just want to eat a hot dog. I don't want anyone to think I'm some kind of gay. And then, they're like, well, let's just change the shape. So yeah, there's no point in avoiding penis-y foods. Also, I would suggest that if you actually have put a penis in your mouth, then what the hell do you care? That's way worse than a pickle. And, I don't know. Let's just assume 50% of the population above the age of 18 has had a penis in their mouth. Let's just go there and then be like, oh, that's suggestive, but on the other hand, it's suggestive of something people actually do. It's kind of like taking a shit. I assume you've taken a shit. So really, you doing something suggestive of taking a shit is not super scandalous, because it's like, well, yeah, this isn't blowing my mind. I assumed that you were one of these shitters out there who shit. Let's see. Ugh, God. These are like just things. These aren't questions. I have to skip ahead. Dear Ms. Manners, when you've engaged a speaker for a meeting and you have paid him in either money or a gift, are you still expected to write him a thank you note? That's dumb. Here's the way to know. I can tell you how this works immediately with thank you notes. If you're not sure if you should write someone a thank you note, just write them a fucking thank you note. Because no one's going to be pissed that they got a thank you note. No one's going to be like, what an asshole. The one caveat to that, I had a creepy situation where someone did that in a job interview and it was weird. Okay? So, not necessarily there. But maybe there. I don't know. Someone will tell you yes. I'm telling you no. There you go. Dear Miss Manners, I do not wish to send Christmas cards. What is the procedure of handling this? Should I tell relatives and friends before they send them to me and make me feel guilty? No. Here's how you don't send Christmas cards. You don't fucking send Christmas cards. Because what are they going to do? Be like, geez, what an asshole. They didn't send me a Christmas card. I sent them one. This is not how Christmas cards work. It's not like, oh, well, you didn't send me one, so fuck you. I'm not sending you one. It's supposed to be a gift. And Jesus Christ, a Christmas card is already a cop-out gift. How much more can you cop out than Christmas card? You know, you already sent the laziest gift on the planet. How pissed can you be at someone else who doesn't send you the laziest gift on the planet? Oh my God, they didn't spend the 39 cents for a stamp. Fuck them. Fuck them right in their stupid heathen ass. No, it's fine. Who cares? Just don't send them. You don't have to send a Christmas card. Okay? If you don't want to send a Christmas card, don't send a Christmas card. Because there's nothing I would like less than a Christmas card from someone who sent a Christmas card because they felt obliged to send a Christmas card. There you go. Okay, let's see. Dear Miss Manners, my daughter-in-law doesn't write to me. She carbons me. That is, she writes frequent letters to my other daughter-in-law, who was, in fact, a college friend of hers and the one who introduced her to my younger son, and then she sends me carbon copies of those letters. I don't want to seem unreasonable about this, and I know that in large families, people need to send around copies of letters because they just don't have the time to write everyone individually. But in our case,
It is just me and the two boys left, and it hurts me never to get a letter that isn't secondhand, except twice a year, on my birthday and Mother's Day. It seems to me that she could copy out the family news twice without seriously cutting into her leisure time. I suppose you agree with her and think I'm being a difficult mother-in-law.
I like that. I like that she's like, I'm cutting into her leisure time, you know, her fucking lay-around time while my son is hard at work. You know, you're getting letters, handwritten letters, from a daughter-in-law? I mean, listen, lady, do you want the letters or not? Because it's not, oh, I want the letters, but I want them in this format. It's like, hey, here's, I'm doing the fucking letter, I'm sending you a copy of it. Why should she copy out the same letter twice? That's dumb. What an idiot. And of course this doesn't mean anything today, because now you would just type it on the fucking computer and hit print twice. And then what are they going to do? Be pissed that you did it twice? No. You just want to be the source of someone else's used and wasted time. Well, fuck you. How about that? Let me waste your time by making a long answer that's just, fuck you. You don't get to decide how she spends her time. And she's sending you a fucking thing in the mail. That's good enough. Oh, and the only day is I get a handwritten letter from my daughter-in-law, not even your blood, by the way, is Mother's Day and my birthday. Good enough. You're not even her fucking mom, all right? Jesus Christ. Let's see. I am a divorced woman, mother of five, married 26 years. I have a lovely diamond wedding ring and engagement ring. Is it ever proper to wear these after divorce? Oh, man. No, I don't think you should probably be needing to wear these, right? Like, I don't know. I think that, you know, a wedding ring is a ring, but it's also you got married, right? And you just have to let that go. It's sort of like if I had a tattoo and it was of a, fucking chicken leg, because me and my wife like to eat chicken together. And then we got divorced. And I was like, well, whatever. It's just a tattoo of a chicken leg. But part of me would be like, I should cover it up or do something to it. Because I know. I still know. Right? Yeah, no one else is going to know you're divorced. And no one else is going to give a shit. But here's the other thing. Like, who are you impressing with this jewelry? And if you want to impress somebody with jewelry, buy your own fucking jewelry then. That's something that someone got for you, but they don't love you anymore, right? So, you know, as a symbolic gesture of love, it's totally empty. So yeah, no, I don't think you should probably wear that shit anymore. Sorry. Sorry, divorcee. Let's see. This is so long. Her daughter Cynthia has always been a good girl, and her father and I are very proud of her. But now she has thrown something at us that has me so upset I don't know what to do. My husband, who is a classics professor, refuses to get involved with it, and I don't know what to do. Cynthia is a beautiful girl, and it is not just her mother who says so. Her boyfriends are all very nice young men. She has a B to B plus average in nursing school. When she was talking about how attractive she was and started saying B to B plus, I thought of breast size. I thought her mom was going to be like, well, she's good looking. Here's her dimension. B to B plus average in nursing school is fine, but come on. And has always wanted to work with children. She's also musical. She plays the cornet and the trombone and has recently started taking the flute. Now she thinks maybe she would like to have a career in music before going into nursing, or instead of, it turned out to be a success. The problem is that she thinks she can get started by entering a beauty pageant. Just the idea of my Cynthia parading around in a bathing suit before judges makes me sick. But she says that beauty isn't part of it anymore. It's personality and talent that is judged, and also that Southern girls from the very best families enter these contests. I don't know about that. My New England forebears would be horrified at what Cynthia suggests, but she considers herself a Southerner. I suppose I have no right to inflict other standards on her. As I said, she has always been a good girl, but she can't name me any other girl she knows who has competed in such a contest. Tell me, please, is she right? Are such things really considered proper behavior in the best Southern families? Yeah, maybe.
But let me ask you a counter question. You know what else was considered good behavior in the best Southern families? Maybe a little era of history that we're not super proud of in America was fine behavior in the best Southern families. Kind of the cornerstone of the best behavior of Southern families. Okay. So maybe you should consider building your own standard for what your daughter should do. I've had enough of that voice. Yeah, beauty pageants. I think beauty pageants are kind of fucking stupid. I'm sure I've told this on this show before, but I went to a beauty pageant when I was like in high school or just maybe the summer after high school to be an escort for someone in the beauty pageant. I thought it was like the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. And like all it is, here's what a beauty pageant is. Some company throws this pageant and they make a fuckload of money. Because what they do is, you know, it costs a shitload to be in this pageant. You have to pay an entry fee, right? And then at this pageant, they all did like a dance number together. So they all had to wear the same outfit. And what they did is it was this, you know, screen-printed shirt and these shitty blue shorts. And you had to buy that shit. And it was all, you know, like $70 for that. And all these little things like that. And then you stay at this hotel. And I assume that the hotel provides some kind of kickback, you know, to the fucking pageant organizers or provide some kind of discount or whatever. So, like, to me, before we even get into the issues of, like, oh, body shapes and body styles and da-da-da-da, I'm like, the pageant thing is a complete scam, number one. Number two, like, I don't really know. I'm not real excited if someone tells me, like, oh, I won a pageant or I won this pageant or anything, like, that doesn't make me think that they're a better or worse person, necessarily. It doesn't make me think they're a better person, so why put in the effort? And I say me, but I don't think anyone's like, oh, well, she won a beauty pageant, so she's therefore qualified to what? Be in a beauty pageant or run a beauty pageant or make her daughter be in a beauty pageant? I mean, beauty pageants are dumb. And they keep calling it, you know, they're like, oh, well, it's about the talent and whatever. No. You know what's about talent? Fucking life. Like, if you're a good singer, then you sing. You don't enter a beauty pageant to sing. It doesn't work that way. Oh, you know what I'm really good at? I'm really good at writing books. So what I'm going to do is work at a strip club and, you know, write between my stripping sets, right? Because that's the only job where I could write in between the times I'm doing the job. No. Okay? It doesn't work that way. Oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write my books, and then I'm going to whisper the plots to guys while I give them a lap dance, and then they'll tell me whether or not they're good. This is a great way to free workshop my work. No. Dumb. That's fucking dumb. Okay? Don't do that. I don't like... If you're going to be in a beauty pageant, just be in a beauty pageant. Dear Miss Manners, I gave a girlfriend a picture of myself framed, and now she wants me to autograph it. I don't know why I suddenly have qualms about this. I've certainly written her frank enough letters, but I somehow don't want to put any statement of love out there where others can see it. Is it too mean to just sign my name? Is there anything I can write that would be less compromising and still not put her off? What would look good to her but not funny to others? Yeah, just sign it in some hilarious way like you're a celebrity and she's a restaurant. You know. Thanks, best omelet in town. And then, ta-da! That's like a weird stage of relationship. You know, right now, so we just moved in, and my girlfriend has a picture of me from her nightstand that she, you know, printed and has. And like, but right now, you know, we got to get a shelf for her side of the bed. Because she's wall side, and I have a nightstand. So right now it's on the nightstand. So right now it looks like I have just this picture of me on my own nightstand, which seems real fucking dumb, right? I mean, that just seems crazy that I'm like, hey, it's me. I kind of wish I'd thought of it before and done it myself. It seems like something Pee-wee would do. Have like a picture of himself on his nightstand. He's like, good night, Pee-wee. And then, you know. Nothing happens. And it's just a weird picture of him. Then you see the lights go out. And it's kind of scary. Toilet paper altercations. This may sound really absurd, but yesterday my mother and sister had a fight, a real fight, about how to correctly take the empty toilet tissue cartridge off the rod and replace it with a new roll. I've seen such information published, but I've forgotten where. Can you help?
Yeah, like, this is the dumb thing. This is something that people do that's so dumb. Like, they're like, what's the right way to hang a toilet paper roll, or what's the right way? Here's the right way. If it's empty and you replace it, you did it right. Congratulations. And if someone wants to complain about it, they can fucking rehang it, because that's the exact same amount of work as replacing it, and in fact, a little less, because you don't actually have to get the toilet paper roll out of the cabinet, right? So how about, instead of complaining about how someone did it, you just fucking do it yourself! You redo the work they did. It's cool. They're not you.
Scheduling the bathroom. When many people in the same family have to share the same bathroom and all have to go off to work or school about the same time in the morning, who gets to go first and how do you decide how long people can take? This is a major question in our household.
Oh, man. Yeah, this is always a problem when we grew up, too. It was like a hot water issue because there were four of us. And my mom got up super early, but her boyfriend and me and my brother didn't. And so there just wasn't really enough hot water in our hot water heater for three showers. Like, that wasn't going to happen. Three in a row. Good luck. So it was always a thing. And then it would always be like, you used the hot water. And it's like, well, I used the appropriate amount of hot water. Yeah, I was in there for 5 minutes. Like, what do you want me to do? Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know. Moving in this house has made me have a lot of thoughts. And one of the thoughts, so far, I think I might kind of like to be an apartment dweller for my entire life. Like, I think I might have no problem with that. Because all of these sort of things are not really an issue in an apartment. Like, does your hot water ever become an issue in an apartment? No. Does it matter what happens in your yard? No. Do you have to, you know, when it's laundry time, it's like, hey, we go to the laundry place and do our laundry. Like, that's how it works. All these apartment things, you know, what do you do when the fridge conks out? Or, hey, do I want to spend my money on a new appliance or roof or things I should have? Or do I want to save for this other thing I want? How do I buy a new Nintendo 3DS when I know that my washing machine is on its last legs? And then if that dies 2 weeks later, I'm going to be pissed at myself. But so then I don't buy the 3DS, and I don't buy the washer either. And I just live that way. But in an apartment, there's none of that. Like, there's no concerns about this. I don't know. Like, where we live, it's basically an apartment, and it's just the top half of a house. But it's got me thinking about all these things. You know, all these issues of, like, well, if you lived in a house, it's this way, but if you live in an apartment, it's that way. Right? All these different things really got me thinking. Really got me thinking about what I do like about the apartment life. And what I like about the apartment life, I think the house life, from what I've seen, from what friends have told me, from what I've observed, the house life is tough because basically you're always upgrading or you're always, you know, in flux on something. Like, there's always like, well, the yard needs to be taken care of and we got that done. Now we need a fence and we finished that, but now we need a roof and we finished that, but now we need a new appliance in the kitchen and we finished that, but now we need to do this. You know, like, and it's all, there's always something. It's never like, it doesn't seem like a lot of people live in their homes and then they're like, I don't really want for any changes in my home. And I think what's good about the apartment lifestyle and philosophy, one of the big upsides is like, you get to a certain place in your apartment where you're like, I can't really do a lot of different stuff in here. Like, I kind of have this amount of space. I'm not changing the fucking carpet. I'm not changing the floors. I'm not changing this. I'm not changing that, right? I'm just, I have the things I have to live with. I have the things I can do, like the furniture and how stuff's arranged. And at some point, you kind of hit the wall of like, I think that I'm comfy here, and this is as good as it, either as good as it gets or as good as it needs to be. And I think that those walls exist in a house too. I think it's like as good as it needs to be, but it's a different, the bar is different. It's like you move the goalpost a lot of like, well, this isn't as good as it needs to be, or this is as good as it needs to be, right? And it just kind of changes a lot. And I don't like that. Like, I don't like the idea of always having a home-based project. Like, I have enough interests and things I like doing, and I don't mind doing that stuff. If I worked 20 hours a week, it would be a different story, because I think I'd feel like, oh, I could do that. But I'd rather do any of 100 other things besides do house stuff. And I would rather spend my money any of 100 other different ways. And, like, it's really weird. I just feel so strongly that everyone told our generation that, like, renting is basically throwing your money in the garbage. Renting is a waste. Because when you buy a house, you're investing. You're investing in something, and then you'll get the money back someday, right? But at the same time, I think that there's a level of financial security of renting that doesn't always exist with buying. Because when you're renting, the security comes in basically that you can walk away at any time. And there's no mess or problem that you can't walk away from. You can own an apartment or a condo too, and it's the same deal, but there's no, I don't know. If my apartment burned down, I've always thought like, well, that would suck. But on the other hand, it wouldn't be that bad. I mean, I'd have to replace my stuff, but fresh start, whatever. And it's not like I'd be buying a whole house again. It would just be kind of where I left off, and I would start again. But if my house burns down, then what do you do? Then you got to find somewhere else to live, and you got to get a new house, and you got to do all this shit. I don't know. It's been a weird learning experience for me, just living in a house, even though it's not a house, but kind of thinking about these sorts of things and thinking about, like, I mean, moving in with somebody makes me think about the future and makes me think of, like, what makes me happy. And I think I've discovered in pretty short order that, like, what I liked about my old place was I just came home and then did what I wanted. And there's always stuff like, you know, cooking and laundry, but I didn't do house stuff, like, at all. You know what I mean? I didn't fuck around with house stuff after I'd been there for a couple months. I think my home stayed almost completely the same. Like, I didn't move anything for several months, you know, for most of a year probably. And I like that. And I think that that's something I want in my future, is just to not do that stuff. But I don't know. It's a weird revelation. It feels very not grown up. And also what I want. It seems very clearly what I want to me. But anyway, well, there you go. That's Miss Manners and then a bunch of other shit. Thanks for listening. We're back this week again. We had a show earlier this week. So if you missed a show because we didn't post it on Thursday last week, we posted it at the beginning of this week. Just know that that's out there. So you may be a show ahead. I'm going to try and figure this out and actually get the correct numbers on there. But boy, is that a task. Anyone want to do the math for me? Send me a tweet that's like, hey, you should be on show, whatever. And sadly, I'd just take your word for it. I probably wouldn't even double check if it seemed about, I don't know, my estimation's like 220 to 230, somewhere in there, maybe, I feel. Anyway, yeah, do that for me. Come on, somebody, please, God, do it. Talk to you later, guys.